How many of you remember that for a number of years on the first Sunday, which is when we take communion, that I preached the communion message for years? How many of you remember that? In fact, there is a book out there in the, they took about, I think, I don't know, is there 52 sermons in that book? I don't know how many's in there. Of all of my communion service, it's called The Table That Speaks. But then they said, hey, listen, the kids are in here and all they ever hear you preach on is communion. So I started doing other messages. But today I'm going to do a communion message. And the title of it is called The Blood Still Speaks. Now, many people do not understand communion. They don't understand why we celebrate this. But if to understand it properly, we have to go back to the Israelites in Exodus as they were getting ready to be delivered from Egypt's bondage. Go to Exodus 12, 1 through 15. I'm going to read from the NLT today. Exodus 12, starting with the first verse. Exodus 12, starting with the first verse. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. One animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat the whole animal, then let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Don't divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this month, of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or their young goat at twilight. They're to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides of the door and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. The same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter herbs, salad greens, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, entrails, organs, must be roasted over the fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating the meal. Now here's where you need to be fully dressed. Wear your sandals. Carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover. On that night I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord God. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking your house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is the day to remember each year from generation to generation. You must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. And many Jewish people still celebrate this Passover meal. I don't know, do we have any of Jewish descent in here in our congregation? We probably do, just don't know it. But they still celebrate this. This is known as the Passover feast, and it is celebrated because of the delivery of the children of Israel from Egypt's bondage. And Egypt is a type of sin. And it's important to notice that it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now let's go to the New Testament. And we're going to read from Luke 22. This is recorded in three of the different Gospels, but we're going to read from Luke. I'm going to read the New King James from Luke 14. Luke 22, 14. Luke 22, 14. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. See, they're celebrating the Passover feast with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, he already said, he already had took the cup up here and drank. But if you understand it properly, understanding that that was something that they did before they eat the meal. That's why it says after. Down here, likewise, he took the cup afterwards. This is, the, he broke this bread, and then he took the cup. And here, as Jesus is eating the Passover meal with his disciples, and he knows what's ahead of him in just a few hours, a mock trial and a crucifixion where he'll pour out his blood for the sins of all men. Knowing this, that when a person is set free from sin by his shed blood, he now institutes a new Passover. That is why we call it the Lord's Supper. He institutes this for us. They had the Passover meal. He was at the Passover meal. At the Passover meal, he institutes a new Passover. Because he knows that in just a few hours, he's going to the cross and he's going to shed his blood. The blood of the one and only Lamb of God. And when it's applied to our hearts and lives, when we receive Jesus Christ, then we're delivered from sin as they were delivered from Egypt. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. And the Apostle Paul is talking to us Christians today, as he was talking to, because this is, he is now talking after that Passover meal, after Jesus has already died on the cross and ascended into heaven. He said, for I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, and this do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. Because for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That I'm setting a foundation for why we have the communion. So many times people hear bits and pieces at different times, and I'm doing it in a very quick manner, giving you a foundation for why we have communion and why we call it the Lord's Supper, because it was called the Passover meal was called the Lord's Supper. Remember, we read it there. Now Jesus institutes a new one for us. Now let's go, because I want to talk about the blood of Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews 12, 24. Hebrews 12, 24. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, or God and man, and to sprinkle blood, which speaks of forgiveness, instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus still speaks. It spoke then. It's still speaking today. The words of the chorus of the old hymn, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We stood guilty before God in sin, doomed in condemnation. But the blood of Jesus spoke in our behalf when we applied it to our hearts. And now we are not under sin, sickness and disease and judgment, but now we live in the reality of being born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood that Jesus spilled for us on Calvary still speaks. It's still saying something. Oh, we got that song, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. And it will never lose its power. It will never lose its power. It will never lose its power. The blood is still speaking. The blood is saying, I still say. The blood is saying, I still give strength. The blood of Jesus is saying, I still deliver. The blood of Jesus is saying, it will never, never, never lose its power. Wherever the blood of Jesus is, sin is eradicated. Sin is done away with. The blood of Jesus speaks of righteousness. The blood of Jesus speaks of no condemnation. The blood of Jesus speaks of deliverance. The blood of Jesus speaks of justification. The blood of Jesus speaks of protection. The blood still speaks. The blood says we speaks and says we have eternal life. The blood speaks and said we are now children of God, no longer children of the devil. The blood speaks and says now we are entitled to every promise in the book. The blood tells us this. Remember in Ephesians 2, 12 through and 13, remember that in that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, who once was far away, has been brought near through the blood of Christ. It was important back in Egypt for the Israelites with the blood. It was important for us today with the blood of Jesus. That, I know a lot of people say, oh, you're not supposed to mention blood. Some people want to take all the things out. Hey, but Jesus said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without that blood on their doorpost, the angel wouldn't have passed over and they'd have been in trouble. But when he saw the blood, when I see the blood, when the devil sees the blood that's been applied to your hearts, I want you to know something. It says to him, no trespassing. You have no rights to come in this door. Come on now. The blood of Jesus accomplished for mankind what nothing else can accomplish. The blood of Jesus made us right, have right standing with God. The blood of Jesus reconciled us to God that Adam had lost for mankind in the Garden of Eden. I don't have time to teach on that. The blood that was spilled on Calvary is activated by us, for us, with our words. You see here it says Jesus spilled his blood on Calvary, but we have to activate that blood. If you're going to walk in victory, it's going to be up to you. If you're going to walk into what the blood is saying, it's going to be up to you. We have to activate that by what we say. The word says in Revelation 12:11, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. You know, I used to hear it when I was growing up. Some of you may have heard it. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Anybody ever heard them people say that? You see, pleading the blood is not begging God. Pleading the blood is not a statement of unbelief. Pleading the blood is not a statement of fear. Pleading the blood is saying, hey, I have what the blood says I have. That blood is still speaking, and now I am saying to the blood, come on, do what you are supposed to do. Anybody understand what I am? See, pleading the blood is activating everything that I've already talked about that the blood that was spilled at Calvary accomplished. Asking God for that the blood, for what the blood is already provided. That's what you're doing when you say, I plead the blood. You know, when the accuser comes and wants to accuse you and wants to put you down, you've got to begin to say, I live and not die and declare the works of the Lord because the blood says so. When he comes and accuses you and says, oh, you're not accepted. You're just a nobody. You're a nothing. You can say, hey, I'm accepted. The blood says so. You can say, you know, when he comes back and he tries to put condemnation on you because of your past sin, you can say, I no longer have any condemnation because the blood speaks. It says that I have no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And you're in Christ Jesus through the blood that he spilled on Calvary. I want you to notice when he comes and he tries to hem you in and pin you down, he comes, you can see the blood is speaking. The blood is saying that I am delivered. I don't have to be in disappointment. I don't have to be in despair. I don't have to be encased in this. I'm delivered. I'm set free because the blood speaks. There, you know, the blood of Jesus says these things about you. If you are going to have the blood of Jesus in your life, if you're going to have the blood of Jesus speaking in your life, you're going to have to understand what all it entails and what it means. It goes back. You see, what happened to the children of Israel there in Exodus when they applied the blood to the doorpost of their house? What happened there was a type of what was coming to us through Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? They had a Passover meal. They had a special thing that they did. They were ready to go. They had their feet ready, their shoes prepared, their clothes on, their walking stick. Yeah, they were ready to go. Listen, I want you to notice that every time we proclaim the Lord's Supper, we are saying, we're proclaiming this till he comes. We are saying the same thing they did. They were ready. We're ready. We're ready to go. We're ready to do what we have to do. We come to the table with the blood of Jesus speaking. The communion table, the Passover feast table, it spoke without ever saying anything because it spoke of the day of deliverance. When we come to communion, communion speaks without it saying anything. It's saying you're delivered. This is saying I'm delivered. This is saying that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. This is saying that this blood is saying I am redeemed. This blood is saying I am healed. This blood is saying I am protected whatever and wherever I go. You know, while we're partaking of communion, we need to think about these things. So many times it simply just becomes a ritual that we do. Don't ever let the communion, the Lord's table, become a ritual that you do just because it's something that we're supposed to do. Yes, it's something that we're supposed to do, but we're supposed to do it with realizing and understanding what we're doing. I know many times when I was growing up, they would preach, and not my dad, but others, churches and things, and they'd preach, and then they'd start to dismay and say, by the way, we got to take communion. To me, that is not giving the Lord's Supper the dignity and the reverence that it needs. It's simply saying, oh, we got to do this. No, it's an ordinance that Jesus himself established just before he, just a few hours before he knew that he would hang on that cross and shed his blood for mankind. It is something that we do. And Paul said it, and Jesus said it to the disciples in the beginning there at the Passover feast. But Paul said it, as often as you do this, you do show for the Lord's death. What happened at his death? He shed his blood until he comes again. An understanding of the communion will help you not to take it in an unworthy manner. I don't know, and I may not be theologically correct, and I don't want to get into the theology of it because I'm not going to argue with you. But I think that part of what it's saying here about take part, I didn't say holy, the whole thing, but part of what is taking this unworthily is doing it like that, just as a ritual, just something that you do. Not understanding what you're doing and why you're taking communion. Come on. Anybody getting anything out of this today? When we take communion, we need to think in line with what this represents, what it's all about. Why was it established? It was established because Jesus himself knew that he was going to the cross. He was going to shed his blood. He knew that he was going to come back and be with his disciples for about 40 days, and then he was going to ascend to heaven and sit down at the right hand of the Father, and that he was going to come again. And so he said, okay, we have a Passover for the children of Israel when they were delivered from Egypt's bondage, which is a type of sin. Now I am instituting my supper because I'm going to shed my blood as the Lamb of God. I'm going to institute a new Passover that recognizes who I am, what I did, and that I am coming again. The Lord's Supper. It's because of the blood that was shed at Calvary. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's why it was instituted, so that we can hold that cup and hold that bread and say, thank you, Lord, for this blood that speaks, this body that said that was broken so that I could be healed. Thank you for those stripes on your back. Thank you, because I can live free. I can live the good life. And thank you that I know that you're coming back again, that you're coming to receive us to yourself. When we partake of communion, let us remember the blood that was spilled, but that blood is still speaking today. That blood is still speaking today. I want the singers to come. I want us to stand and I want us to sing right now. Where are my singers at? Where are y'all at, people? They didn't know when I was going to quit, and I didn't either. I looked at the clock. I hadn't been speaking very long, but I've been speaking long enough. Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get a hold of it? Are you ready, Dan? Let's go.
It reaches to the highest mountain.
To the Lord.
just a moment. Maybe you're in this place today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Or you're here and you know what it is to serve Him, but you just not where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate your life to God. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand anywhere in this room right now. Anybody, anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, ushers, help me. Raise your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you right now. That blood will change your life if you'll ask Him into your heart right now in the name of Jesus. There's a hand over here. Somebody's saying, all right, praise the Lord. Are there any others that would raise your hand right now? Say, I need Jesus. I need to rededicate my life. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out now and come right down here. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Come on now. Come on now. If anybody, they said somebody raised their hand over here. Come on. Don't hold up. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Here comes somebody from this side. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, buddy. Hallelujah. Here we go. Right here. Stand right here, please, with my ushers right there. Anybody else want to come? You're in the balcony. If you want to come, come on down. The ushers help you get down these stairs and get right down here. Come on. Anybody else want to come? This is your time to change your life forever. You'll never be the same again after today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, come on over here. I'm going to pray a prayer with you right now. This is Brother Greg right here. And then I'm going to, oh, thank you. Come right this way, please. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe I got too fast. Hallelujah. It's all right. I'm going to pray a prayer with you, but I'm going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer with Him where He's there and others are there to pray with you. Make sure you get what you came to get. I want you to just raise one hand. I don't care which one it is. Congregation, reach your hands out and pray as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these that have come. Thank you today that they have received salvation, rededication, and their life will never be the same again after today. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Put your hand down. Would you turn and go? We'll just follow Greg to that place right now. Let's go right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.